The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH. I'm Andy, your host. And on today's instalment of I'm Talking to You, originally recorded and broadcast on Tuesday, January the 21st, 2025, at achshow.com, I will be presenting a show entitled Sir Isaac Isaacs Became the First Australian-Born Governor-General of Australia 94 Years Ago Today. And the time is 10:17 here in London, making it 5:17 on the east coast of America and 2:17 on the west coast of America. So welcome to wherever you are around the world. Okay, I mentioned a week or so ago on the Saturday show, not the one just gone, the one before that, that I now have a donation button again for people who want to support the show. Now, I sent myself a donation to check that it worked. The first one I was told would take longer with all these checks going through, etc. But I donated £10 to myself and I got £9.50. So they take a small percentage of commission. And if you do have the wherewithal to do so, then please donate to support this show. My plan is to wind down the work I'm doing at my mother's house and go back to doing shows every day like I used to do. But obviously, I can only do that if I get enough coming in to do that, so I leave it up to you. I would rather do this than anything else, but if I can't make enough to live on doing this, then I will have to quit and do something else. It's as simple as that. Okay, so let's now move on to what I have downloaded this morning to listen to throughout the day. Let me see. Right, this is in the way. Everything's in the way. Okay, first, this is a Richie from Boston video from yesterday. Probably the longest Richie from Boston video I'm aware of, apart from when he does interviews. He did a 3-hour interview with someone, I think, last week. I didn't bother listening to that too long. This was 50 minutes. And basically, his truck's gone wrong again. I used to sort of have a bit of a chuckle because it seems his truck is so unreliable. But when you consider that he's sort of driving it non-stop, he's constantly driving around, then it's going to go wrong a lot more than, you know, my car, for example, that I don't think I even did 2,000 miles on it in the last year, or rather my mum's car, because I only use it to go to my mum's house and see her on the way. That's it. And then come back once a week. But that show was Trump Will Be the Last President America Is Over. Reference was made to the fact that Trump, when he was swearing the oath of office, Melania, his wife, was holding two Bibles, I think one that his mother gave to him and another one, the Lincoln Bible, something like that, and he didn't put his hand on the Bible. He put his right hand in the air, but he didn't put that hand on the Bible at all, just left it. And that kind of reminded me of, isn't there a prayer that some people pray once a year that means that any oaths or agreements that they enter into shall be regarded as null and void? Something like that? That's what that reminded me of. Then we have the first hour of the the Richie from Boston one is from the Richie from Boston BitChute channel. The purpose of telling you these is to give you something else you might want to listen to. So if I don't give you the location, I know many of you will remember, then it's no point me doing it. This one is the first hour of the Jeff Rents program from yesterday. This is generally up on rents.com. It's the first hour with Donald Jeffries, simply entitled Trump is Back in Charge. Don and Jeff give their assessments on what's been going on Inauguration Day. And of course, that's recorded very late in the day, so they're going to have a lot of information in there for you. And then Dr. Patrick Slattery from, if you go to republicbroadcastingarchives.org, his Monday show is generally with Mark Collett, who I imagine that we're going to be talking about later. But he went to the inaugural, and there was a show. Patrick goes to the inaugural, our man in Washington, as it were, Dr. Patrick Slattery, and he's wandering around the Capitol talking about different things while he's there. So that's something that I've listened to a bit of and is quite fun as he wanders around the Capitol building. And then finally, I decided to try TDS 1289, Beatuku Do Crime. I don't understand a lot of their titles. They've all got humour in them, most of them, but they kind of go way over my head. Essentially, one of the people that's generally involved in this show that I used to think was amazing, had all these brilliant drops that he put in the show, amazing quick sense of humour, would just be on something in no time. Well, he's not how I used to like him, let's just leave it there. So I could see someone else had uploaded the show, so I thought I'd give that a go. Okay, that being said, let's see how the news has been developing since yesterday's show. Go over to... these are all Daily Mail. These are all headlines. Asylum seekers will have to do 3 hours of community service a day or have their benefits cut under new rules in German City. The German city is Essen, E-S-S-E-N. Not sure where that is in Germany. And again, this is another one of these, this sort of anti-migrant flavour that we've only been seeing in January, really. Then we've got transgender social media influencer. 26 strangled girlfriend, set her alight and attacked her with a vodka bottle during 4-year campaign of abuse. Now, I skated through this article because I found it very distasteful. But at the end, it seems to say she was handed a restraining order to keep away from Lauren. So it just looked like this person even went to jail. You don't need to hand someone a restraining order if they're in prison, do you? So I sort of flicked through it up there and I couldn't see that this person had gone to jail. So this is another example of someone who's allowed to retain their freedom rather than someone who's locked up for protesting the murder of 3 toddlers. Then we have the lost music of Auschwitz, how Jewish inmates were forced to perform in death camp orchestras, and now their compositions are being played again. Now, there are some comments I could make on this article, but unfortunately, my democratic right to free speech prevents me from doing so. Next, if I said my husband had a bike accident, people would say how sorry they were, but because he's been left disabled by the COVID vaccine, they question if it's true. So I talked about a BBC article a few months ago that went into the details of a vaccine-injured man, and I was shocked to see it on the BBC. And now I see one from the Daily Mail. And it also, it says that this guy, this is the sort of thing that I'm getting from it. It's the fourth paragraph. 3 years ago in April, Jamie suffered a catastrophic bleed on the brain after being given the AstraZeneca COVID vaccine. And I think that why these articles are popping up, because let's be honest, they didn't want to talk about these things before. Everyone who talked about problems with vaccine injuries, they were a kook and, attacked by the mainstream media relentlessly. So I just feel that what they're doing here is that they're trying to herd all the vaccine injuries into this vaccine that's no longer available. And then they'll say, well, you know, this new vaccine we've got, it's the Pfizer one again, and the Pfizer one was brilliant. So there's no reason anyone should not take that. We understand people are worried, but that was because of the AstraZeneca one, which we don't use, but the Pfizer one was fine, so you'll be able to take that. That's what I think they're doing with these stories. That's my opinion. I might be right, I might be wrong. Only time will tell. Okay, let's move on to smoking gun proof. Biden was never in charge, utterly selfish, and America's worst president ever. Maureen Callahan's damning final verdict on a legacy of total failure. Well, the funny thing about this article is most of the things that are said in it, people in the independent media were talking about before he got in the first place. They talk about him having showers with his daughter, but they don't talk about, there's a famous picture of about, what's it, 400 people on the in Washington, and they've all got something in common that are involved in running the Biden administration. So it doesn't say, it doesn't tell you who was in charge, really, which is no surprise to me, but there you go. It's just another example of the Daily Mail trying to tell you that they you know, or we knew this all along type of thing. Well, why didn't you tell it at the start? And why didn't you tell us who those people were on the steps that the independent media did tell us? And then we have a Mail Plus article. Now, all you get here now, you used to get a little bit of an intro, but now all you're getting is the headline. But for me, the headline is enough to make a point. Dr. Max: too many people falsely believe they have mental health problems, which they wear like a badge of honour. We need to start being honest about the impact this is having on those really in need. Well, this is another thing in the last few years. I remember Prince William sat down with a load of, was it England footballers, something like that, and all sat down in like the dressing room together and having and talking about, you know, mental health. And it's become trendy to have some sort of mental health issue. And my feeling on why that was pushed is, again, the people that run things want you, they want you to feel you have problems with your mental health. The people they despise the most are the strong alpha male character. They hate it. They absolutely loathe it. And so they will do anything to try and encourage people to think outside of that character. And by making having mental health issues fashionable, a lot of people will sign on to it because they want to be felt of as part of the herd, and you know, someone that other people will say, oh, you know, that guy's sort of with it, or whatever the words are today. And I like the line in the headline, too many people falsely believe they have mental health problems, which they wear like a badge of honour. Well, again, the mainstream media are a key component of promoting it as a badge of honour. You know, rather than saying, look, you know, what's happened's happened, you just got to get on with it. You know, it's unfortunate. If you have any relationship breakups that I've ever been involved in, that, you know, of, how can I put it? Well, not just that. You know, say you lose a loved one, something like that. You can't just take a pill and hurry the grief. The grief will take what the grief will take. I have a friend who lost a dog a while ago. I've already mentioned him on this show. And I could tell he was upset about it. And he sort of said, you know, I'm very sorry, but if you're planning to still keep dogs, you need to make sure you have another dog. And the point is that that's going to help you through. But at the same time, everybody, even the same person, they might have two bereavements and they might react to them differently. Or they might have relationship breakups, react to them differently. But one thing that you can't do is take a magic pill to take grief away. It just doesn't happen. It takes as long as it does. And, you know, you remember that feeling. I'm devastated. This is awful. I'm so upset and what have you. Well, you're still here now, aren't you? So you got through it. And did you take things to get through it? Or did you just, you know, take each day as it comes, and things eventually worked out and it became a distant memory? Next, skipper of dredger that sank the Marchioness, killing 51 in collision hours after he downed 6 pints, is now fined after refusing breath test when customs man reported he thought he'd been drinking on duty. Now, for those of you outside of the UK, this was quite famous. It happened, I believe, on the Thames. This dredger in 1989 struck a ship called the Marchioness, which was a little boat that had some sort of party going on it, and it kind of flipped the boat upside down and 51 people died. And it was very big news at the time, back in 1989. And there was a couple of inquiries, and neither of them could actually find that this guy was, his drinking was actually resulted in this collision, shall we say. So, but it turns out that he was arrested on the MV Velox, another boat, on July the 21st of last year, after a custom officer was carrying out a routine check on the boat and suspected the guy had been drinking alcohol. He refused to provide a specimen at a police station. That's when, it's happened to me, they'll say to you, I can't breathe out like that. I've got some problem, respiratory problem, so they can't breathe out. And you say, well, these have been tested for, you know, even top high-end asthmatics can blow into them enough to do it. They'll try anything not to give you that sample. The problem with not giving a sample is that the judge then regards you as the worst offender. So he's going to think, well, you might have been, you know, twice over the limit or something like that, or only a little bit over the limit, but he might say, well, you didn't give a sample, so as far as I know, you could have been 3, 4, 5 times over the limit, so I'm going to sentence you as if you were, because you refused to give a sample. So anyway, obviously with boats, this guy got a £281 fine, and it doesn't say anything about any sort of ban. So whilst you've got automatic bans for drink driving, you don't have it, it seems, for drink sailing. But going back to what he was alleged to have drunk on the night of the Marchioness, that his boat struck the Marchioness, it was supposed to be 6 pints. Now, 6 pints of lager, I'd probably drink that each day, to be quite honest with you. It's the weakest lager you can get. It's Carlsberg, it's 3.4%. And I go to bed, I know exactly what I've been doing before I go to bed. I'm not blacking out, I'm not falling over all over the place, anything like that. And it would depend on, again, everybody's different. Now, if these 6 pints this guy had were Stella Artois, for example, I'd be like, well, yeah, this really is going to impair your judgment. And also how the body processes it, what have you, things like that. So there you go. But apparently went through 2 inquiries and neither of them had enough evidence to blame his drinking on the collision. And finally, this article. Now, that's a cool job. Chefs, plumbers and electricians could get paid over £50,000 to work in Antarctica. So could you live in an area where it's dark for 24 hours a day? And this jumped out at me because there's a lot of people in the independent alternative media, whatever you want to call it, that talk about the Antarctica, the South Pole, and, you know, no one's allowed to go there. And it's a lot of the flat earth people that talk about that. And this area is completely screened off. And then some people say that leaders are flown over there. There's some secret government down there or something like that. All these different things. But it actually turns out that there are 5 research stations run by the British Antarctic Survey out there. And it's like anything, they need chefs, they need plumbers, they need electricians to live and work in the South Pole. And the people who live there must face icy temperatures down to minus 49 degrees centigrade in winter, as well as complete darkness for several months. So there are people out there. There's pictures of these research stations out there. I read yesterday, one of the chefs there was a chef that worked at a Michelin star restaurant, and he just fancied doing something different, so off he went. It sounds quite fun to me, but apparently they only fly the food in once a year, and then the guy has to manage that food for the year. But it's quite an interesting article if you want to. I'll just give you the headline again. Just put Daily Mail. Now, that's a cool job. Chefs, plumbers, and electricians could get paid over £50,000 to work in Antarctica. So could you live in an area where it's dark for 24 hours a day? Worth a read, even if you just want to look at the pictures in the article. So let me have a look. That's all the news developing since yesterday's show. So let's see what's going on right now in the mainstream media. So we go, as usual, we start off with APnews.com, Associated Press. Trump sets out to erase Biden's legacy with pardons and orders immediately after taking office. Now, let's see what's on the BBC website. I'll mention it quickly. I saw earlier that he basically pardoned all the J6 protesters, apart from the ones who were involved in more serious offences or the more high profile, like it mentioned people from the Proud Boys, stuff like that. But then it said he planned to commute those people's sentences. Now, whether that means commute them to time served and everyone's getting out, I couldn't get that much information out of it. I heard there's about 1,500 people he's doing this for. Jeff Rentz and Donald Jeffries were talking about this. I think Jeff Rentz said about 2,700 have been locked up, and so that doesn't sound like all of them. But the article seemed to indicate to me it was all of them. And it made me think that maybe if there were that many, as Jeff said, that some of them might have got sentences of, say, less than the 4 years or whatever, because they've been picked up near the start, they'd done their sentence and they were out. That sort of thing. So I don't know. It needs further investigation. I haven't seen one headline that specifically says everyone who was locked up for anything on January the 6th has been released. That's the headline I'm looking for, and that's the headline I have not discovered. Okay, let's go over to BBC News and scroll down to their top article, most read articles. I told you that I'd be mentioning Mark Collett in the show. Well, the most read article at number one, far-right group exposed in undercover BBC investigation. And that focuses on the Patriotic Alternative. Now, if you go to Mark Collett's BitChute channel, Mark has posted an audio of an interview he gave to the BBC, because he recorded his own version, because the BBC notoriously will edit things down to make you sound different, make your sentiments, rather, you know, the point that you're trying to make, try and make it sound different than what you're actually saying, if they could use that to gain the response that they wanted to present to their viewers, if that makes sense. So this is another one of these undercover Patriotic Alternative. I mean, this has been already been done before. We've had, I think, Channel 4 did one, didn't they? And now the BBC have to get in. Why is there this great desire to have a look at these organisations that are against immigration? I don't understand why it's such a desire for public broadcasters to go in and demonise everything they say. Or do I understand? Let's go back to the top 10. So that article, just to let you know, far-right group exposed in undercover BBC investigation. If you type BBC first and then that line, you should be able to read it for yourself. It's a lengthy article. I kind of scanned it earlier. Father stops Southport killer from going to a former school a week before the attack. This is the guy who killed the three toddlers that led to so many people being put in jail for protesting it. He's now in court. He's on trial. I've heard he's going guilty. But I'm not sure what's going on at trial, because I thought if you went guilty, then you just got sentenced. But I certainly saw yesterday that he's admitted the offences. Let's see, is there anything else? Trump orders US to leave World Health Organization. Now, that is encouraging. He also says Trump makes two genders an anti-DEI policy official. And a lot of what I've seen Trump do so far, I find very difficult to disagree with. Again, I hope that I'm wrong, and I hope that he is this white knight that so many in the independent media say he is. I'd rather be wrong and have someone do some good for a change than be able to criticise all the time. But something that crossed my mind this morning is, you know that saying, first they came for whoever and I didn't speak out, and then they came for whoever I didn't speak out, and you go down the line and then they came for me and no one spoke out for me. Well, again, what we could be witnessing here is they could be going after a few different groups on the way to getting a particular group that they're after. And so they work out who is the least popular in mainstream society, and they target them first to get mainstream society on their side. So when they finally get the people who speak out against people that you're not allowed to criticise, then the society will already be on board and say, well, you know, all these other people are bad, so these people must be bad too. That's what could be going on here, but I hope that I'm wrong. Okay, let's have a look at the Daily Mail, see what's happening at the top of that website. Trump and Melania hit three inaugural balls in one night as first family dazzles on dance floor to celebrate MAGA's return to power. Something else I saw was, this is going to start, you know, provoking discussion, especially in the alternative independent media. Barron Trump shook Joe Biden's hand, and when he did, it was something I think that they go through. He said something to him. And there's all this, what did Barron say to Joe Biden? All this sort of stuff going out there. So that's some news event that I think will be speculated on in the next few days. And the other thing is, these pictures of Biden now, it's like he's, while he was in office, there was all this push to, you know, some people went as far as saying that there were actors using latex masks of Biden's face, but even when it was the original Biden, they would work hard to make him look as good as possible. Well, recent photos I've seen of him, he's got his hair all over the place and stuff like that. So it just goes to show how they will manage people's images to suit the sort of reaction they want to get from the public. Like I mentioned before, if you have a news story where they want to characterise someone as a villain, then they'll get a photo of that person, like, with a funny expression on their face, something like they're gurning or something, and that's what they will use to make them look really weird, all right? But then the person they want you to say is the victim in this and the person we should feel sorry for, you know, they'll get perfect photos of them. They'll, no expense spared in making them look as good as possible, because perception of people is a way that they sell the opinion that they want you to buy, essentially. The next headline I notice is Elon Musk defends his awkward hand gesture as ADL calls for calm and says it's not a Nazi salute. Really? I'm just looking at it. So, I wonder what Alfred Schaefer would have to say to that. He said he was showing how high his dog could jump, and that was a Nazi salute. But this thing here certainly looks like that to me. So the ADL would generally be the first to criticise someone, something like this, but for some reason, they're not criticising Elon Musk. So maybe we're seeing a little picture coming together of this meeting of people, this getting together of people like Elon Musk and Donald Trump and Alex Jones and all these different people. We will see what 2025 has in store. But never forget, the Deagle.com figures were specific to 2025. So could there be some terrible event happening this year and this is all part of it? I don't know. All we can do is watch and wait. Okay, so let's go over to see what's going on in the independent media right now. And we're going to start off again with the truthseeker.co.uk. Let's see if they've got some new stories for us. Washington WP, I presume that's Washington Post. Russia is not behind cable breaks in the Baltic Sea. And then we've got reports of the adverse effects of the COVID vaccine are going mainstream. Well, I just gave you an example from the Daily Mail. And is it a real ceasefire or only a scam? And ceasefire, is Greater Israel over? Well, We will see. Then we move over to RT.com. Only two genders, flag on Mars and no more war. Key takeaways from Trump's inaugural address. And also a headline, Biden family pardons unfortunate. That's according to Donald Trump. We'll have more on that in a second. I have actually looked through these this morning. Somebody, not this one. I'll let you know what headline I looked at while I was having my breakfast. Okay, so let's move on to Rents.com. See what's happening over here. Scroll down to the headline news stories updated 24/7. You've got summary of key Trump executive orders and presidential actions on his first day. That's the top headline, so that's probably a good place to go. It actually takes you to the whitehouse.gov website /presidential-actions. So there's that's straight from the official source. Trump withdraws America from the vile World Health Organization. Well, who could argue with that? Putin says Trump will help prevent World War III in an Inauguration Day congratulations message. Let's move on to HalTurnerRadioShow.com, and this I looked at earlier. I do tend to go over, you see, Hal Turner, he has the most, how can I put it nicely, articles you want to click on, shall we say. Let's just call it that, because a lot of claims are made, some of which do not come true, although he himself has claimed something's about to happen and he's fled the city to the country where he's got a home and stuff like that. So he believes it. It just doesn't always happen, which is a good thing, I suppose. But he did an article, Biden's preemptive pardons are null and void on their face. And he admits he's not a lawyer, but he's found something in the Constitution or somewhere. I'm certainly not a lawyer, and I'm far from an expert on American constitutional law. But Biden did pardon family members against anything that they may have done, or that's and he actually specified a time period for different people. And so Hal Turner believes he's found a bit of legislation which says, actually, you can't do that. You can only pardon someone for specific offence. And the fact that Biden's given a timescale of when these people's pardons should be in place for is enough evidence for investigators to look at what these people Biden has given these strange pardons to were up to during that timescale and go after them, and rightly so. So I hope that I've explained that as best as I can. Excuse me. Right, earthnewspaper.com, Mark R. Elsis website. Let me see. So we've got a video at the top. Trump did not place his hand on the Bible for oath of office. This is a Rumble video, 2.5 minutes, so you can see for yourself. There's also an article on it by Caitlin Dawn Boss, and that's from the New York Post, so there's a link you can read about it there. And there's a Dave Chappelle SNL Saturday Night Live monologue from Rumble.com. That's another video. And a Dr. Vernon Coleman piece, If You Are Over 50, Your Government Wants You Dead. And I'll just give you the last line of this, because I'll be probably looking at the whole article later. Anyone over 60 is now officially old, though in a growing number of hospitals, the cut-off age for resuscitation is 55 or even 50. So I am in that category, being 51 and rapidly approaching 52 in the next 10 days. Okay, let's move on to censored.news, Mike Adams news aggregate website. And the top headline here, before it jumps, Britons believe media covered up grooming gang scandal because of political correctness. TikTok restores US service credits Trump as Democrats freak out. No, these are still the top stories, so he hasn't put his show at the top, which Mike Adams generally does. Department of Justice sues Walgreens, alleges it filled millions of illegal prescriptions. Trump to take more than 200 executive actions on day one. So this is obviously from before yesterday, but it seems to have been. I think he did well over 100, didn't he? So they're certainly in the right ballpark. And let's finish off with the Before It's News Top 10. And I do wonder what these people are going to be writing about if everyone's going to be on the Trump train in the mainstream and the independent media. It will be interesting. And that's not why I take a contrary position, folks. I hope that I am wrong and this guy is really something we've never seen before that is going to take down the deep state and what have you. I would much rather that I'm wrong and that happens than, you know, be able to sit on my high horse and say, I told you so. I want the world to be a better place. That's why I wrote that book all those years ago, back in 2006. I thought that could change things. It didn't. So that approach didn't work. Maybe this one will, but I'll give you my reasons for not trusting these people. Okay, let's scroll down then to number 10, beforeitsnews.com. And this is the top 10 as at 10:51 a.m. UK time this Tuesday, January the 21st, 2025. Number 10, 112 people viewing, went up 11 hours ago. Wano Savin, inauguration intel, something odd is happening. Okay, then we'll go to number 9, went up 8 hours ago. 118 people viewing. Live Trump 2.0 begins. Swamp draining, IRS ending, protest spread, world leaders react. That's a good headline. A lot of information in there. Number 8 went up 4 hours ago. 157 people viewing. Wano Savin. Now Trump's mass arrests begin. Who's first? Number 7 went up 8 hours ago. 159 people viewing. New Richie from Boston. Trump will be the last president. America is over. And I mentioned that video earlier today. Number 6 went up 4 hours ago. 182 people viewing. Kim Gogwon. Full situation update. Trump chaos. Number 5 went up 7 hours ago. 184 people viewing. Benjamin Fulford. Urgent emergency. EBS countdown alert. Number 4 went up 9 hours ago, 214 people viewing. New X22 report, January the 20th, Trump, Scavino send messages, deep state lost the people. Number 3 went up 3 hours ago, Judy Byington, went up 3 hours ago, 279 people viewing. Judy Byington, now I make a joke about her, it always says unredacted, well that could be the title of her show, Unredacted, so there you go, I won't comment on that again, but the headline is Judy Byington unredacted. With Trump now in the White House, was Trump's inauguration a sting? Oh, there you go. Number 2 went up 8 hours ago, 299 people viewing. Live Patriot Underground Mike King situation update. And number 1 went up 6 hours ago, 487 people viewing. And we know Trump drops bombshell, red carpet, the stage is set, big moves coming. Okay, I want to thank you for joining me today on a show entitled Sir Isaac Isaacs became the first Australian-born Governor-General of Australia 94 years ago today. That has been I'm Talking to You, episode 169, recorded and broadcast on Tuesday, January 21st, 2025. I'll be back with you a bit later tomorrow. And until then, folks, thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day and bye for now.